The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, a very, very good morning to you. It is Yom HaAtzmaut today, and of course a very, very strange one in Israel this year with COVID-19.
Boker Tov, Chag HaAtzmaut Sameach to you, to everybody, to all of Israel. Yom HaAtzmaut in Israel this year is very different, but nonetheless very significant. 72 years of independence, and even though we're in lockdown, and even though we're celebrating in the shadow of COVID-19, it's still a very, very significant moment for all of us just to take a step back from some of the shenanigans, from some of the stuff that's been going on, and just to appreciate some of the things that we do have rather than to express our frustration at some of the things that, can be better, let's say in very polite terms. Last night, of course, we had the migration from Yom HaZikaron to Yom HaTzmaut. That's an event that's done at a national level at Har Herzl, at Mount Herzl in Jerusalem, in the shadow of the burial place of the great Theodor Herzl, who of course had this vision for the Jewish state. And so I think it's a very fitting tribute to him, who never saw the Jewish state during his lifetime, to witness the celebrations that happen on Yom HaTzmaut. And I think that these celebrations are not only significant for Israelis, people living in Israel, but I think they're significant for Jews around the world, because my sense is that being Jewish has become a very, very different proposition, a very different thing since the declaration of the State of Israel 72 years ago. I think that the type of Jew that we have in the world today, both in Israel and outside of Israel, is an entirely different type of Jew than the one that existed in the years before the declaration of the state. And it just reminds me of the vision that Jabotinsky had. He was the one who had this vision of a Jew in the form of Bar Kokhba. That was his hero in terms of being a proud Jew who was prepared to stand up for his rights, who was unembarrassed, who was unashamed, who was strong enough to defend himself when he needed to do so. And if I was to compliment Jabotinsky on that foresight, because I really think that if he saw the State of Israel today, then he would say that he achieved his dream, that his dream has really come to reality. And he was, of course, one of the visionaries. He wasn't one of those who had much influence over the way that the State of Israel has developed in the last 72 years, but he certainly had this vision. And I think that to a large degree, his vision has really come true. And I'm proud to say, even though it's a slight contradiction, that the generations of Israelis who are growing up in Israel today don't really understand what anti-Semitism is about. They know about it. They learn about it. It's like a subject that they hear about constantly in school and in other places. They know that this is an anti-Jewish feeling. But to say that they really know it from first-hand experience, I think would be an exaggeration. And I know that many of the organizations that are fighting against anti-Semitism around the world are somewhat frustrated by the fact that the Israelis in our generation don't fully appreciate what anti-Semitism is all about. And in some ways, that's, I think, a really, really good thing, because it shows that a certain achievement has been made in Israel in terms of making a place that's safe for Jews to exist as Jews, not to have to express themselves as being different in any way. We have our differences. We know that we're different. We're a very proud nation. And yet when you're in Israel, being Jewish is just like everybody else. And I was looking back, I was watching back again on the Declaration of Independence made by David Ben-Gurion on that fateful day. It was a Friday afternoon, Hay Biyar, the fifth day of the Iyar, the day that the British mandate expired in Palestine, as it was back in 1948. He arrived at the Independence Hall in this old black car, strange shape, people jumping out of the car, not even bothering about him. He kind of had to get himself out of the car while all the other members of the council who'd been elected were waiting inside the hall. And then he stood up and he made that fateful declaration. And even today, it brings a lot of emotion to me when I hear it back, when he says, you know, we, with the right that we have, to be in Jews in our own land. We wish to open the gates to Jews from all around the world to come here. We've now been given authority by the United Nations. And by that, with all of that in mind, I declare a Jewish state in the land of Israel to be called Israel. And the name wasn't a given. The name was, there was a lot of contradiction around what the Jewish state was going to be called when it was declared in 1948. And there was a moment of breath before he said the name, because for some people it wasn't known. It was a surprise. That's people incredible. Listening on the radio.
I had no idea. I thought, you know, you always assume, obviously, because I was born way after the fact, that it was always going to be Israel.
It wasn't. There was a lot of controversy around what the Jewish state was going to be called. And in the end, when he said it, people didn't know what it was going to be. And everybody listened for that moment. It's a bit like when you have the naming of a baby. What's the name going to be?
I was thinking that, yeah. Incredible.
And that's exactly what it was like. Friday afternoon, the most inappropriate day leading into Shabbat. Everybody around, polite applause in the room, really just a polite applause for the people gathered in the room. No great outbursts, no great cheers, no great anything. But then outside, people, it rippled through the crowd and people began to get to know about it. And then, of course, the celebrations began. And of course, the war began at the same time. It wasn't just simply only celebrations, but of course, the War of Independence was already raging by that stage, because it was known throughout the world that this was coming, and the War of Independence already broke out. So amazing scenes, amazing things to think back in history, and amazing to see what's been built in 72 years in this country. Many things, we speak about them from day to day, that could really be better. Three elections in a row. I mean, you know, we couldn't make this stuff up in a movie. And yet, when you look at the great achievements, when you look at the Israel then, 72 years ago, and the Israel now, that we have 9 million people living in the state of Israel, living in freedom, with great development, with amazing technology, with an economy that really thrives, you know, beyond the COVID effects, with scenery and beauty and tourism, and has taken up its place as a nation in the state, in the international community of nations, which were also the words that Ben Gurion used in his Declaration of Independence, that we should be a nation amongst all the nations. That was what he dreamt about. And really, that has been achieved, a member of the United Nations and a member of many international committees, in spite of a lot of anti-feeling that continues to go on. And yet, when you look at it and you manage to just take that step back that we need to do from time to time just to appreciate what we have here, I think we have an amazing, amazing place with things that need to be fixed as well. And we'll continue to try to fix as best we can. But I think it was Menachem Begin who said, you know, that in order for us to be a true nation amongst the international community of nations, we also have to have our issues. We have to have our negative problems. We have to have things that don't go right, that we don't do so well. And that really cements our place amongst the community of nations, rather than just to simply be a nation that's different, that only has good things. And so I think, you know, we've certainly achieved that in spades. But I think on the whole, some amazing achievements that Israel can really point to, a lot of pride. And I think that, you know, the idea of opening the gates to the Jews around the world to create a new type of Jew has really been achieved and continues to be achieved on a daily basis. So I think that this is really a great day for celebration, a lot of significance, really a lot of significance, not only for us living here, but of course for Jews around the world. I think that Israel continues to protect the rights of Jews, even those who don't live in Israel. I think that that's considered to be one of its responsibilities. And I think that the governments, the successive governments of Israel, and indeed the people of Israel, take that responsibility very seriously indeed. indeed.
Yeah, Anthony, so, one of the things that you were saying earlier, and I found it fascinating, is the point you made about that Jews in Israel don't really understand what anti-Semitism is. And what's fascinating to me about that statement is, of course, they know full well what a national security threat is. So, and I guess it most definitely has roots in anti-Semitism, but it doesn't manifest in the same way. Just this morning, the mayor of New York tweeted that he's going to crack down on the Jewish community, a warning to the Jewish community about social distancing. Excuse me, etc. And I found that fascinating because it was very, very much an appallingly anti-Semitic statement, in the sense that there's in excess of 1 million Jews in New York. Maybe 50,000 of them belong to a community that might not be adhering to it. And even of those 50,000, there's even a smaller segment who are. And I'm not condoning behavior of people attending a funeral at a time that is so dangerous to do so. I think that behavior is dangerous and moronic, to be honest. But at the same time, where in New York you've seen this tremendous upsurge of anti-Semitism. We've been speaking about it, reporting on it, lamenting it over the last 6 months or year, where Jews have been randomly attacked on the streets of New York under the same mayor's watch. This kind of a statement is terribly irresponsible. But where I'm going with this is that Jews outside of Israel, as you were saying, are living with a constant specter of anti-Semitism, even in a city that should be one of the safest cities in the world for Jews. Doesn't all of this contribute to what we've also seen growing over the last couple of years, which is a chasm between Jews living in Israel and Jews living outside of Israel? Very often we see that there's this miscommunication, there's this disconnect, Jews in Israel being maybe a bit critical of Jews outside or not understanding, and vice versa, Jews, certainly American Jews, being highly critical of some of the things that go on in Israel. It's interesting that, and I'd love your thoughts on that.
I absolutely agree that there is a chasm of some sort that is being created between Jews in Israel and Jews around the world. Different notions, different experiences, different views, different life views on particular issues, on important issues that govern the Jewish world. And the fact that Jews in Israel have an entirely different Jewish experience, I think, is absolutely part of the reason why this disconnect exists at all, and why it continues to grow. The fact that Jews from around the world feel that they have a right to say, to have an influence over some of the things that happen in Israel. Israelis feel sometimes that that's not fair. They don't pay taxes here. They don't have the right. They don't have to live the reality that Israelis have to live. They don't have to serve in the army here. So therefore, why should Jews from around the world have the right to influence what decisions are being made by the Israeli government? And so there is a notion that, you know, Jews from around the world should simply appreciate what's being done in Israel and not necessarily try to influence it too strongly. I think that there is some truth to that particular view, but I think that, as always with these things, there's two sides to every story. I think equally, Jews from Israel have no idea what that feeling is when you know that something is coming towards you because you are Jewish and you really have a very weak defense system in order to protect yourself against whatever that is that's coming towards you. Our grandparents experienced it in the shtetls of Europe when they knew that the army was coming, when the authorities were coming to find them. There was a knock on the door only because they were Jewish and they had no way of defending themselves. In Israel, we don't feel that. Why don't we feel it? Because even though we have this national threat, we have a stabbing, for example, yesterday, unfortunately, in Kfar Saba, where a lady was very seriously injured. But even though we have this national threat, by the same token, there was a civilian on hand yesterday in Kfar Saba who shot the assailant right there in the street. So we know that we have our defense. We know we have our army. We have our police force. We have our government, which is here to defend us as Jews. We have our defense system. We don't have to experience that fear, that taste in our mouths, that we know that something is coming towards us because we're Jewish. We're being attacked. We're being criticized. We're being treated differently because we are Jewish, and we have nothing to do other than to simply stay quiet and be good citizens in order not to attract too much attention. There is an entirely different feeling about being a Jew in this country. Nobody will stand up and criticize us because we have an army. We have an army, and our army will go out to defend us at any moment in time. And we live in this country knowing that. It's an entirely different life experience that we have as a result of that.
Yeah, very, very interesting. We don't have a lot of time left, but how is Israel celebrating? I mean, Yom HaTzimot is normally a day the people are out. They have braais or barbecues. They go on hikes and tiolim. It's obviously very different this year.
It is very different this year. It's all at home. It's all in lockdown. Of course, there are the general, the usual ceremonies, like, for example, the awarding of the Israel Prize. It will still take place this evening. Former South African Naomi Stuchner will be receiving an Israel Prize for her amazing lifetime work in helping disabled children at Beit Izzy Shapiro, which is named in honor of her father. That is a story I think that should really be covered. The work that she's done at Beit Izzy is phenomenal, and an Israel Prize that is definitely worthwhile. There will also be the usual Bible quiz also from a distance this year, no audience allowed at all. So people will basically be at home watching for the flyover of the Israeli Air Force, which this year will be a flyover of the hospitals in order to give credit to the amazing work that's been done by our medical staff. So overall, a day to celebrate at home rather than being out. And I hope that everybody out there will be celebrating along with us.
Absolutely right. Anthony Reich, hope you have a fantastic day. Hope you get to enjoy, and we'll catch you tomorrow morning, same time, same place. It's 8:01. Good morning.